All right, Joe, welcome to Dragon Con. Woo!
Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun, Mike. Oh, I've got to get this music put on a flash drive so that we'll have it live at DragonCon, which we're live at DragonCon right now. Whoa! Yeah, but you patrons, or not patrons, you podcast listeners, you are getting the pre-recorded version because we still have to release on time because we won't get our live actual panel recording back. even if we got it that weekend, I think we're recording Saturday afternoon.
Evening. I think so. That sounds right.
I know the app dropped recently and all the stuff's in there.
It did.
We have something to talk about.
It's the question of the week.
All right, Joe, what are you most excited about Dragon Con?
Oh, that is a great question. I know what my kids are most excited about, whatever I bring home back to them.
Yes, yes.
And actually, my mother-in-law has made a request that I get her an Ultra Saber while I'm there. She's gonna give me money to pick her up an Ultra Saber.
Nice.
That'll be fun. But me personally, there are some really good panels that are listed for the digital media track this year.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah. So what I do is I go through whenever Scott puts out the, hey, sign up for stuff that you're going to volunteer on. I'm like, okay, I want to watch this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. And I sign up for the ones that I want to watch right off the bat. And to be honest, like you said, the app just dropped. I haven't even looked at any other tracks, but there are some good ones there. Like for instance, the Blood Feud is always a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that, so for our podcast listeners,
who you're basically a part of that now.
Yeah, I am. So the Blood Feud is basically like Family Feud, but with D&D podcasters as the different teams for it. And so it's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I run the board for that and I reveal the top 10 answers are on the board. I reveal those as we go along. And so it's up to my interpretation, me and Scott. Scott runs it with me.
Right.
It's up to our interpretation of their answers. And so it ends up being a lot of fun and we try our best to read the room as best we can. And so sometimes some of the stuff is a little bit more mature than other things. Cause it is a late night show. Like for instance, an innuendo is definitely in there. Like for instance, the first year, they were talking about different classes that would be offered at a magical school or something like that. And, Phil said sex ed. And Scott and I revealed the answer wand use.
Yes, that was so controversial. Controversial.
It may have been controversial amongst the people who were competing, but the audience loved it.
It was,
and afterwards. The people, even though there was controversy up on the stage, even the people afterwards came up and were like, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's so good. I think I'm most excited about my wife's perspective. A little bit. I'm not going to lie. A little bit. I am very curious to see what gets brought to the table. Although I'm going to tell you right now. Now, by the time people hear this, we'll know what the reality is. Because like I said, we'll actually be at Dragon Con when this comes out. But Phil's in the hospital right now.
What?
Yeah, possibly Crohn's disease, but he's got some issues with his bowels, and they're waiting on the test results to come back, and he might not make it, which is going to change some of this stuff up.
No. Phil has been at every Dragon Con I've been at. He is not allowed to miss it.
I know. No. You sound like Matthew Perry. Matthew Berry. Berry. No. Yeah, no. So I needed him to be a part of that to make sure it stayed on the rails and went where it's supposed to go and be kind of funny. It will not stop the roast if he's not there. But I know Botched obviously won't do a thing. And I'm not sure what's going to happen with Blood Feud. So, but I'm worried about it, man. He's going to make it through. It's not that kind of thing. I just don't know if he's going to make it to Dragon Con, and that sucks.
And Jenna's still coming, right?
Yes.
Botched?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw on the Botched Twitter.
Well, she's leaving the show. Yeah.
Well, taking a break from the show. She's full out leaving, but yeah. And so I was wondering if she was coming to Dragon Con or not, but
as far as I know, I mean, she's got a bunch of other panels.
Yeah, and she hasn't mentioned anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for those that are like, why is Charles getting roasted? We literally have a panel called Roasting Charles McFall.
It's the Roast of the Rock God or something like that. And Sean Weiland brought it to me. He's the one who legit put it together and said, it's about time. And I actually called Phil. I was like, yeah. I think it'd be great. I want to be, I love getting roasted. I love to be the center of attention, but I don't want it to be self-serving, you know, like, oh, look at me. And Phil's like, no, this would be great. And actually, if it's done right, then it opens itself up to roast coming down the line, you know, future years for other people and this and that and the other.
And we've built up such a good community with the digital media track that they can tell all kinds of inside jokes and people will get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll keep on rolling. But no, I'm actually most excited about Erin wanting to come this year and being a part of everything and just to get her opinion. Of course, she's going to be on the first show after the con for Behind the Track, I believe is the week after Dragon Con. And I'm not sure who all we're going to have on it, but Erin's going to be one of them. And because I want to get her full on brand new perspective year, you know, experience with it and see what happens there. So I think that'll be interesting.
The volunteer mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be cool. I'm assuming you saw your baseball card, your collectible card.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot.
It's not fully finalized, but yeah.
Oh no, it's fully finalized.
It's probably fully finalized now.
I hit go on the order like a week ago. It's fully finalized. If you want to make changes, too bad. So sad.
Well, so the reason why I said the one that I saw wasn't fully finalized is because it literally says down at the bottom, need a URL.
So I think we use Wise and Nerd. Okay, good.
Okay.
So
you pulling up yours? No.
No, I don't know what's. I don't.
You're.
All right.
Your camera's cutting out.
Let me fix. Hold on. Let me fix this real quick. You talk to our people. I'll fix it.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Dragon Con. Like for anyone who hasn't been to Dragon Con before and are like, "What's Dragon Con?" Dragon Con is what you want it to be, and so it is. It's one of the biggest fan-run comic conventions in the United States. I can't remember how much they had last year, but at their peak was 2019, where they had 85,000 people attend. And granted, 2021, they cut the attendance down to like 45,000, but they're slowly growing it back up. It is a ton of fun. Like I said, it is what you want it to be. Some people treat it as
I'm kind of excited about this, Joe.
So for our podcast listeners, because this isn't in video form
yet,
Charles just slapped on a hockey jersey with the Wise and Nerdy logo on the front. It looks awesome.
Doesn't it though? Look how good that, I don't even know. Is the camera even doing it justice?
Probably not. It looks good though.
It's really good, man. It's really good.
Yeah, but Dragon Con is what you want it to be. Some people treat it as a 4-day party where they're drunk the entire time. Other people,
that's me. No, I can't do that.
Other people treat it as, fans trying to see big celebrities. Now, granted, if you're doing that, you're going to spend a lot of time waiting in lines, a lot of time. And then other people, they actually go and try to network and learn. Like one year I went to a panel about hacking 101. And so that was a pretty interesting panel. It is what you make it, because there's so many things going on concurrently that you will only end up seeing maybe 5% of Dragon Con, because there's just so much going on at any given time. And I think 5% is generous, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's not far from the truth, man. It's crazy. I forgot I need to get Erin to look at the app and see if there's anything she wants to see, outside of our track. There, which she'll probably be like, no, and now find something like, well, doesn't this sound interesting to you? Because I want her to experience more of Dragon Con. We'll take her to the Walk of Shame, almost said, the Walk of Fame, so she can kind of see what that's like. And I'll take her over to the stores, comic book alley and all that, vendor alley.
Yeah. Here. Well, I think it's going to be really weird for people who go looking for big time celebrities this year, especially because with the writers strike going on.
Oh, we really haven't had many cancellations.
No, not cancellations. But from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you have it from a director's perspective, sure. The big time celebrities aren't allowed to talk about their projects.
But see, that's what I'm excited about is that they are going to be talking about their passions. And one of the things that was even mentioned at one of the director's meetings is like, how often can you go somewhere and talk to Patrick Stewart about his dogs, right? or his love of botany, that kind of thing. I still have an option on the table. I'm not sure. I haven't got confirmation on it.
It's not Nathan Fillion, because he canceled.
No, he didn't cancel. He declined. He declined.
No. He backed out of Dragon Con.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
No, Anson Mount. Man, Nathan, come on. You got so many good stories to tell without having to talk about what you're working on right now. I don't know. Maybe I had better. Whatever. I don't know. I'm disappointed in him. But yeah, Anson Mount, who is Captain Pike on Star Trek Discovery, Hell on Wheels. He was a cowboy, the main cowboy in that. And then, I can't remember. Oh, he was Black Bolt in Humans and Doctor Strange, Multitude of Madness. Okay. And so he does a podcast. And somebody had actually asked to be on his podcast at Dragon Con if he was going to do it. So he reached out to Dragon Con and they told him, Regina called me. He's like, hey, can you record it? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can record it. And Mark going, oh, I already know kind of the setup I want to do and how I want to do it. So I got to get that ready. But I think it's going to be great.
I assume if that happens, you're gonna try to get him the files that day.
Oh yeah, no, I have my portable rig with everything ready to go. My laptop and my Yeti mics and all that jazz. My little I forget what, little Behringer interface. It'll be good. I'll probably even give him a flash drive. Oh man, it's too late now. I should get a wise and nerdy flash drive. Finding the stories one. But that's not big. I mean, he's confirmed and he's doing some panels, but I have not been confirmed to record if he's going to do a podcast yet. So I'm hoping to hear about that. But that'll be awesome.
Roll that dice.
Number 6.
I don't know why I hit. I got to take that back. I hit the wrong one.
Roll that dice.
I can still be number 6, but yeah.
Okay. So number 6.
All right.
Are you ready? Are you ready for it?
Is it BS?
Oh, yeah, Mike. It's BS. Oh, my God.
Bad dad jokes.
Oh, man. So this one actually comes from my wife as well.
Oh, man. That's
the one from last week.
Look.
It is so hot at my house. Do you want to know how hot it is at my house?
No, I don't. I don't.
Two hobbits just threw a ring in my backyard.
Oh, God. All right. That was a little funny. Knowing the theme, Dragon Con, knowing some other stuff we got coming up in the segments. That one, you got me. It was a hobbit part. It's how well it fit into the theme of the show. That's what got me. All right.
Bad dad jokes.
It was just a bad dad, Mike. He's just a bad dad. All right. Roll that dice.
Number four, can you dig it?
This is our favorite here.
What do you love?
So, all right, you just referenced some hobbits here. Is Harry Potter better than the Lord of the Rings? Yeah, it is.
I don't know. So
you don't waste 2 hours watching people walk in Harry Potter, is all I'm saying.
Hold on. If we're talking about the movies, I think the first three Lord of the Rings movies are better quality than anything in Harry Potter. I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I don't care about The Hobbit.
You're talking about like graphics and cinematography.
Yes. And the just sheer adaptation of it. I think they did a lot better job adapting the original Lord of the Rings movies.
Strider rode a horse and not a motorcycle, but whatever. I mean, when I read the books, I always imagined a motorcycle that he was on.
And their casting was just fantastic. Like, why am I blanking on Hugo Mortensen? He is Aragorn. Like, period. Like, some of the stories that came out of shooting about him, like intentionally getting up early and walking around in costume to grunge it up so that it's ready for the scene, and like, or him breaking a toe mid shooting and just going with it, or chipping a tooth. Like, he was Aragorn, just period. But if we're talking about books, I personally, and people are going to debate this again, because Lord of the Rings are classics, I like the books from Harry Potter more. And maybe that's just because I'm currently reading them with my kids.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good thing. Question, right? Would you put your kid, oldest, whatever, would you put your kid to bed with Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
So, yeah, with my two older boys, we are on book 7 of Harry Potter. And they are loving it. And so, yeah, fantastic. And seeing their reaction to some of the how the plot's twisting and all of the different things.
I mean,
they have not seen the movies. We have not let them see the movies until they've read that book.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And it's not, like, yes, the books are a lot better, but that's not the sole reason why we're waiting. It's also, we wanted the books get progressive and the movies get progressively darker and more mature. And so we're also using it as, you have to read the book first as a way to delay them seeing the movies because until they're a little bit more mature.
Sure.
And so we started that, I think, about 2 years ago. We've been slowly working through it. I read with them for about half an hour or so each night, and yeah, having a lot of fun with it. So,
well, I mean, it kind of boils down to midget Gimli or giant Gimli, you know. So I go with giant Gimli. I actually find the Harry Potter movies more entertaining. It's just, I don't know, it's just fresher to me. And the graphics and everything were amazing, but it's just the story of the Lord of the Rings is epic, which is another word for really cool but slow as crap.
Yes, they are. But I think I'm a little biased against the Harry Potter. Well, I'm a lot biased against the Harry Potter movies because of book 4. Book 4, The Goblet of Fire, is my favorite in the series.
You didn't say that right. It's the
Harry goblet. Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
No, it's the Goblet of Fire. The Goblet.
And some of the changes that they made there just destroyed it. It's like, no. If you've read the book, you know exactly. Like The Maze, for instance, the movie Maze sucks compared to the book Maze, and just different things like
sure,
that. Like,
sure.
And then they add random things in there that I'm like, okay. I mean, that was kind of a cool scene, but you just took up, you know, 10 minutes on this added thing that wasn't in the book. And then they basically skipped every cool part of the maze. I'm like, jerks.
It's the interpretation of it, right?
It is. So, but there are actually a couple of things that I like that they changed in the movies. For instance, and this is going to be a seventh movie, seventh book spoiler, I guess. So, you know,
it's only been out for 10 years, people.
Yeah, right.
Cover your ears.
It's a relatively minor detail. Towards the beginning of the book, they are transporting Harry to a safe location from his aunt and uncle's house. And during that, in the movie, Hedwig is flying around on her own, and she flies in front of a spell to save Harry. I actually like that a lot better in the movie, because in the book, Hedwig is in a cage the whole time and Harry's holding the cage. And so the spell is actually aimed at Harry, and it just happens to hit Hedwig.
He did quotey fingers happens.
Yeah. And so it felt more impactful and meaningful that in the movie, Hedwig actually sacrificed herself for Harry versus just being there.
Got it. I got it.
So
roll that dice.
Plus, every game, there's not been a good Lord of the Rings video game, in my opinion, but the Harry Potter games are pretty cool. We'll talk about that later.
That's very true, because I just rolled number one.
Call your daddy. Leave him.
I meant to do just actually, I think, does he yell at us too? He does.
Nerds.
All right. So what are we nerding out about, Joe?
Well, as a transition here.
Yeah.
This past week, I started playing Hogwarts Legacy. I'm only about an hour and a half in. Basically, I finished the intro is what it feels like. But I'm liking it. My computer is, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old now. And so I had to set a lot of the graphics down to low, but even on low graphics, it still looks really good. But yeah, the gameplay is pretty good. I'm liking it so far. It's set about 100 years before, Harry Potter. So it's the same universe, but obviously it's well before,
sure,
Harry Potter. And there are some names that you recognize. And so it'll be interesting to see where the story goes. I haven't been spoiled at all, really, on the story.
Can I watch you play that?
Yeah. I did record. I haven't put it. I was planning on putting it on our YouTube channel, on the Wise and Nerdy YouTube channel. So I'll post it out. Post it there. So later that means this week.
You recorded it somewhere, right?
I sure did. I streamed it, twitch.tv/wisenerdy.
Attaboy Amos. All right. So, while you're playing your game, do you use the audio or do you listen to podcasts?
I use the audio.
Yeah, a lot of people do. But if you wanted to listen to a podcast, I'm geeking out, man. Smartless. Smartless is the show, man. It is so
Smartless. Amazing. Never even heard about it. What's it about?
I didn't either. It's. I'll get there. Here's how I heard about it, though. On Amazon, not Amazon, sorry, on HBO Prime, or Max now, I saw a TV poster, right? And it said Smartless. And I saw Will Arnett and Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes. Sean Hayes was Jack on Will and Grace, for most people know from. Just Jack, you know. of course, Jason Bateman is Jason Bateman. I mean, everybody knows him. He's in Ozarks right now, but we all grew up with him doing stuff. And then Will Arnett is Lego Batman, as well as many other funny characters, right? And he's a comedian. They've been friends forever. There was a show called Arrested Development that Jason and Will did together. And during COVID, apparently, so here I saw on HBO, it's basically a documentary. They did a tour, a seven city tour of their podcast. And well, here's what I love about it, Joe. From an OG podcaster, there at the beginning, chiseled this out of stone and turned it into airwaves guy. They podcast because they have the heart of podcasters. They just are great conversationalists. Because it literally starts out as Will, or I had told Jason Bateman, oh, I think I'm going to do this podcasting. And it was about his weight loss journey or something. And Jason started like, no, that's stupid. That's a stupid idea. Everybody already said it. He's like, hey, I'm going to do it with you. We'll just talk. We'll have some guests. And here's what it turned into. Is that him and Sean Hayes, you know, those three guys are best friends. And they're all comedians. And so they've known each other forever. So they're giving that grief that's funny and loving and to the point, telling shared stories. One of them brings the guest on each week. The other two do not know who the guest is at all. And they just come on, and it's a surprise. To, you know, like I said, one of them introduces, the other two has a guest, and then they come. And then they just talk for an hour. And sometimes it's friends. Like, they're friends with John Krasinski of The Office. And if you ever wanted to see Three Stooges, how about Four Stooges? Because it's they are amazing, the four of them together. It's insane. And I've never wanted to be a part of something more, but in the real sense. Not like, hey, I want to be on your show. It's like, I want to be in that friend circle because that's such a fun friend circle. And that's it. They just talk. Sometimes it's a little dirty. Most of the time, I mean, it's 99% clean. Because they're really just either geeking out like, oh, I'm such a big fan. Trying to remember.
Well, you say 99% clean, but I was looking at some of their listings, and at least all the recent ones all have an explicit tag.
I'm not caught up to the most recent. Now, the most recent they did on tour, and they had a stage show, and it was, I think the guest kind of came off probably a little bit differently than they would, because when most of the recordings are through Zoom, and that's how they do it. And I think all of them actually are through Zoom.
Yeah, so I'm scrolling through all of these, and I have literally only seen one that is not marked as explicit.
Really? I wonder if they're doing it for safety, or maybe I didn't seem explicit that much, but there are some things, but it's mostly words, just in, yeah, whatever. It's amazing. Now you make me feel guilty for recommending it, but it's amazing. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. But anyway,
such a bad dad.
So I saw this little documentary, and I looked up. I didn't know it was a podcast, so Aaron and I watched the first episode. They started about the podcast, and I immediately looked it up. I have binged listening to this thing, just finding my favorite people that I want to hear them talk to and hear them ask all the different questions, sometimes about Hollywood, sometimes about life. It's just beautiful and amazing. And they truly love it, and they're making money at it hand over fist. I mean, they've got merch. They've done it for like 2 years now, 2 or 3 years now. They did the tour. They, of course, have ads in their thing. And it's just, I'm almost like, don't go back to your TV shows. Just do this. This is amazing. And they're working around their shooting schedules and whatnot. I love it. So then I went and saw Oppenheimer. Are you familiar with Oppenheimer?
I mean, I've seen the commercial, yeah.
You know who he is, right? Well, he's the father of Noah. Okay, that's what I meant. But so you saw the commercials. What did it catch your attention? Do you like those kind of pictures? Do you like Christopher Nolan?
I mean, it could be good. I probably won't see it simply because in general, I don't watch rated R movies.
Yeah, so. there's a very artistic and poignant moment that's very graphical and naked. but it drives you wouldn't think so, right? You hear, oh, there's sex scenes in this historical drama. But
he's like, it's the bomb.
Oh my god, so good.
We're getting nuclear in here, baby.
So there's definitely some nudity and moments that really, when you absorb it in the story, is like, oh, I get it. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. It's supposed to set this weird tone to things. Okay, but it really was. You can actually watch it without those moments. If you knew, I couldn't tell you, like, oh, right here, fast forward it there. But if you knew when those moments would come, I think you could skip them and you would enjoy
it. My in-laws used to have a DVD player called
You told me about
Clear
that.
Play. Yeah. It had bugs and stuff, but the goal was to censor stuff out so you can watch stuff like this while not seeing the scenes that you don't want to see or the language that you don't want to hear.
There's some language, probably. I just if it's really used wrongly, it jars me. There was Suits on USA. Right? It's on USA. And for the first, I think there's 9 seasons. For the first 7 seasons, it was your standard TV show, PG-13. And then somewhere, I don't know if they just went straight to streaming or what, but somewhere they started actually doing F-bombs. And then the first time they said it, it's like,
you're like,
whoa, that has no place in this show, sir. What are you doing? Yeah. So there are probably some language, but it was such a beautifully told story. And Nolan, Christopher Nolan, does this time bouncing back and forth thing, like in the storytelling, so well. He did Memento, I think it was one of his first big films. And literally the story is told backwards from the end of the movie to the beginning. And it's very amazing. He did, you probably heard of Inception.
Oh, yeah.
He did Inception. So think Inception kind of meets real world. I mean, it's not science fiction. It's just the storytelling, but the way he tells that back and forth.
And he did a little known trilogy called The Dark Knight, you know.
Yeah. Different. Well, some of the same sepia tones. Oh, that was the other thing. And this one, he played with tone so much. There's some black and white scenes. There's full color scenes. There's vivid color scenes. There's sepia tone scenes. And it just flows. And you don't even realize that's what you're looking at until you kind of get lost in the moment and go, wait, this is different. This feels different. Why does it feel different?
Because it's an explosion.
All right, roll that dice.
Number 2.
Every time, what is number 2?
Tell me a story.
Oh yeah, daddy.
All right, whatever, Mike. I can't find it.
Help me, daddy. Or daddy.
There,
patreon.com/ wise in nerdy.
Look, everybody, I love our patrons. Love them so much. Come on, play with us. Hey, you know what, Joe? I can't put a price on it yet because they're a little pricey. But maybe at some point we can get some of our patrons' jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? So, Daddy, tell me a story about weed. No, I'm sorry. It says plants. My brain just jumped. I'm so sorry, Joe.
All right. You wanted a story about weed. Here we go. So, my dad,
of course,
he specifically asked for the weed story, so here we go. My dad he was told by his doctor, after trying all kinds of different blood pressure medicine and nothing was working, his doctor was like, and this is before medical marijuana was a thing, but his doctor was like, hey, I can't officially recommend this, but if you smoke marijuana, it might bring your blood pressure down. And so my dad was growing marijuana in our house. And what I don't think
I he, wish Grandpa he, NASCAR was alive today. I'd be visiting him so much.
I don't think he knew that we knew about it. But what he did.
Wait. How do you pretend to think your kids? That stuff's from fresh, I understand. Smells very distinctly. Smells. How do you not think that y'all knew?
So I never actually saw him smoking it ever. My dad didn't smoke. He smoked every now and again with regular cigarettes, but I never saw him smoking. So
did you ever see him happy?
Oh yeah, of course.
Well, then that was shortly after he was smoking, sir.
What he did is he had a bookshelf in his room and he put it at the exact distance from his closet so that he opened the closet door and he actually drilled, screwed in some screws from the bookshelf to the door, and he was growing the weed behind it. next to the wall. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I never talked to him about it or anything, but I'm like, I see the light
right
behind the door,
right?
And he had it covered up somewhat, so it wasn't a ton of light leaking out, but there's light. Like, there's a light back there.
What about tell me the smell? Tell me you smelled it.
I didn't, but I really? Didn't. I didn't really know back then. I didn't know what weeds. Like, I may have smelled it.
Sure, I guess you would.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, my dad he smoked it for a while until he started feeling guilty about it, and then he stopped. And to be completely honest, I think that was a contributing factor to his death, him stopping, because what he ultimately died of was an aneurysm.
Oh,
no, he had an aneurysm. So he had a
blood. So you're saying guilt won't kill you? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Well, it did for my dad. But he.
She said aneurysm. Yeah, all right.
He had an aneurysm. So he had a blood vessel pop in his brain, and he was in a coma for about a week before they pulled him off the lights. They declared him brain dead and declared him and pulled him off life support. But yeah, I honestly think that if back then marijuana had been legal and my dad had continued to smoke it, that that his blood pressure may have remained in control and that aneurysm might not have ruptured.
Uncle Grandpa, bless your heart. Driver, start your engines.
But just normal plants in general, though, my dad was all about that. Like, I remember we would take some trips from, we were living in Washington at the time. We take some trips towards Seattle every now and again. And on one of the trips, my dad just decided, hey, I want to take some of these trees back with me. And we pulled off to the side of the road, dug up some saplings, put them in a grocery bag, took them home. We pulled off to the side.
From Washington State.
Yeah, well, that's where we lived at the time, was Washington State.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So like you're traveling on vacation and
yeah, I mean, okay. So Seattle's in the Northwest. We live in the Southeast.
Okay.
Washington, pretty close to the Oregon border. And so we brought them home. We planted them in our yard. The fern almost immediately died, but the pine trees grew quite well and everything. That's my dad. Like, he gets an idea. He would get an idea in his head, and he was just like, all right, let's do it. And he was all about saying yes. You know, talking about our previous episode.
Yeah.
He was all about saying yes. And then this year, my wife decided she wanted to have a garden on our porch. And so as a combined Mother's Day and birthday, because her birthday is pretty close to Mother's Day, got her a planter, a wheeled planter for the back porch. And so she's been growing cucumbers cucumbers and tomatoes and bell peppers and things like that.
Nice.
And so that's been a lot of fun, which is a huge step up from when we first got married and she wanted plants, because she killed every plant that we had.
What do you think changed then?
Well, so I went up to someone selling plants on campus and I said, hey, what is the hardest plant to kill?
You went to a weed dealer on campus and asked to get killed. Oh. I got you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's how it went. And so I brought home a succulent. And so we had a succulent in the house and we started growing that. And then we actually decided just on a whim to plant some bell pepper seeds in our apartment in college, and because it was an apartment, the plant was indoors. We actually took Q-tips and touched the different buds to self-pollinate them, because there weren't any bugs to pollinate them for us, and so that helped to stimulate growth, and we got several bell peppers out of it. And it was just, we bought a bell pepper at the store. Right. We planted some of the seeds. And so it's been a learning experience, and she's developed quite a few skills along the way. And her mother's been gardening for years and years and decades. And so she, whenever she has questions,
she's really just trying to earn the love of her mother. Got it.
Oh, I'm curious to see what my wife says about this story, because she's actually started listening to our podcast.
Oh, so. The Mrs. Underscore is listening?
Yes. So,
well, that joke is said about divorce. Just ignore it. It was a joke. Joe made me say it. He made me say it. It was him.
So, and that's why she submitted some jokes for us, because she's liking the show quite a bit.
Well, good.
She knows that you love the jokes. She asked me, she's like, what face do you make? Charles is always asking, there's always saying something about the face you make when you tell the joke.
That face right there. I'm the little kid that knows what's about to happen. Yeah, that face. Well, that's awesome. Because I told you when we first did this, my goal would be to do a show that anybody in either one of our families could listen to and enjoy. So... There's one more. All right, roll that dice.
Number 5.
All right. Well, we already played this before.
Time for a commercial break.
Let's see.
That's one good daddy.
Oh, one wrong way. Roll a 6 and add 1 to it.
6.
All right, where's the... Okay, cool, I got you.
Call your daddy. Leave a voicemail. wiseandnerdy.com/calldad. Donate to your daddy. patreon.com/wiseandnerdy.
And it's time for that. Coming back from commercial, dance break. Senpai Gaming. That's where we got this from, the Stream Beats. I can listen to for a very long time. It's so good.
Charles, do you know what time it is?
Time for random trivia!
No. It is time to let Daddy decide!
Now you would think, that was a good one. Yeah, and the arms and everything is so good. You would think Daddy's side would have been the Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Nah. This one's much better, Joe, because I know you'll relate. So you had a malicious compliance story for story time on the last episode. Tonight, for an hour and a half before this show, I'm on the board of this school that I used to teach at. Right. So they asked us to do a board meeting. Cool. I'm not even sure why there's a board. I think he's talking about getting accredited, but I'm not really sure they made any progress, because that's not what we had a meeting about. And the question, the daddy decide, Joe, I need you to be daddy and help me out here, daddy. Obi-Wan, daddy-o. Should you waste.
All right, son, I'll help you.
All right. Should you waste everyone's time in a meeting by being unprepared? So we were an old business. Now, meetings at 6. They started about 10 after 6, which is about normal for the South for a non like super uber business meeting, right? It's like, yeah, they had some food, whatever. Now I'm here remote because we got the shows tonight. So it's the computer that had the Zoom on it was on the opposite end of the room. Oh, by the way, the room is cinder block. So the mic's picking up kind of echo. Couldn't hear half what they're saying. Then they wanted to show up, and they're all doing old business. Then they wanted to show off this AR headset. Now, Joe, I want to ask you, how long should a school, you would think, just in your guesstimation, right? You roll out softwares, you do that kind of things. How long do you think a school would have a headset, AR headset to teach people? Like here, you can see the holographic body and do all the CMT stuff. How long do you think they'd own it before they use it?
The real question is, even if they did use it, how long is it going to be before someone breaks it or steals it?
There's that.
Before they use it, the fact that it sounds like they've only got one, they might never use it. Not for a student.
Well, you might be right. See, that's not how I think of things. I'm like, get it, learn it, let's go. Let's put in practices, let's put in safety nets, but let's go.
Yeah, but I know the bureaucracy of schools.
Well, this is a privately small, private-owned school. It's not like a state school or something.
Okay.
But, all right. So, I was just frustrated, and then they wanted to demonstrate it. The TV demonstrating it for everybody to see was at the other end of the hall. I couldn't hear anything, couldn't see anything. And then I counted, we spent 40 minutes just on playing with the headset and him is not quite getting right. And hey, did you, you know, try saying this, try saying that. Did you go, you know, and I'm like, oh, why are you wasting my time? We were an hour in before we get to any real old business. And then I was like, yeah, it's time for me to go. I mean, so Joe, I'm sure you have some great corporate advice to give about having a meeting.
My question is, what are they planning on using it for? Like digital museum tours or something?
No. EMT school. So you see the body and you can like find see, the
I'm thinking like a kid show.
Yeah.
But still, I just, okay.
I don't know. Okay. I've been disappointed. I put two classes through there going, oh, let's play with the AR. And we still have it. I was like, I'm a little frustrated. Indeed. I can't hear you. I can't see what's going on. You spent 40 minutes playing with this headset that...
It sounds like they need to come to the panel, some of the panels at DragonCon, and learn how to do a better presentation.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Those noobs.
So...
It's clear that they had an idea for what they wanted to do, so I wouldn't say they were completely unprepared.
No, they weren't. They just didn't know how to execute it.
They didn't know how to execute it. And I think it's more a lack Pokemon of skills. Joke? I was like, what?
I know. I broke your brain. Then you got it. It's like, oh, screw you.
Yeah. I was like, where was the Pokemon? Oh, execute. Got. Chuckle. Okay, Sheldon.
What were you saying?
They lacked the skills to execute it in a way that was meaningful for their audience. I've seen a lot of times when that sucks, and I've been in a bunch of meetings where they're having technical difficulties with like the MC system. I'm like,
right.
I'm sitting there tempted to walk up there and be like, okay, show me where it's hooked up. I'll fix it.
Wait, you don't, there's no temptation. I just get up, go get out of the way here. Click. Thank you.
Mostly because I don't care what they're saying.
I picture when you say technical difficulties, I figured like, all right, I'm sorry, we'll be back with you in a minute. Oh, and just delay the whole speech or presentation or meeting.
Oh yeah, no,
yeah,
that happens. I'm talking about usually the technical difficulties are in like these huge like division wide ones where they're talking in super generic terms that mean nothing to my daily work. Gotcha. And so I only half listen, and then they throw out all these random statistics that have literally nothing to do with my work. And some of them are interesting factoids, like this line of business made this much money during this quarter of this year. I'm like, okay. And I care why.
I hate those kind of meetings.
To quote Bluey, my kids love the show Bluey. I don't know if your kids have watched Bluey at all, but there's a unicorn that says his line is, and why do I care? But yeah, my kids have been saying that to each other all week this last week. But yeah, it's a fun show, Bluey. Give it a try.
I've seen clips of episodes when we take the kids to their dentist. So we've done that. But I think they were just a little bit too old for that show when it came out.
See, as a quote unquote little kid show, I think it's one of the better ones out there.
I've heard good things.
Period.
I've heard some weird things too, but I've heard some good things.
I mean, there is some weird things, like Disney has decided to randomly censor/edit little episodes here and there. And I'm like, you guys are weird for doing that. But, well, like there's one where a cat, a stuffed animal cat they're playing and it threatens to pee on the curtains. And Disney decides that that's too much for a kid's show in the US because it's made in Australia. And they make some of the best TV,
by the way.
They changed the line to scratch up the curtains instead of peeing on, like little things like that. It's like, really? You're going to worry about that?
Because cats pee on curtains. What do you want? They're stupid. They're cheating Chinese food for a reason. what about, tell me Lazy Town. You've watched Lazy Town.
Yep.
Gonna go to bed. What is that? I'm gonna go bake a cake. It's gonna be amazing. Come on, man. Sing it with me.
See, I like the villain song better.
The one that Robbie. Oh man, when the actor who played Robbie Rotten passed away, it broke the world, man. He was fantastic. The whole show is fantastic. It really is such a great show. Even my kids outgrew it. I'm like, yeah, I'm still gonna watch it. It's cool.
See, that's kind of how I am with Bluey, to be honest. It's good. And it's got some interesting messages for parents in it too that the kids might not pick up on. Like one of them, it talks basically about stop comparing your parenting to other people who seem to parent better. If you love your kids and you're trying your best for them, that's all that matters.
What if you're kind of okay with your kids and you do whatever?
Oh, well, bad dad.
you have your button soon enough, sir. Soon enough. You know, there is actually a panel about parenting and the digital age. And
I saw that.
And that's something you can be really excited about at Dragon Con. Thank you, everybody. That's the show. Love you, Joe. Love you, everybody. Bye.
Nerdy Dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
Oh, yeah, daddy. Just think you could have sat in a room while we did that if you actually came to Dragon Con. Nerds!
Oh, man.